Krishna. So we welcome all devotees to This morning's program at the residence of Balakrishnan Prabhu, Ratha Daishini Mataji, and Yadunandan Prabhu. As you can see, the morning sun is coming in very nicely. It's so bright, very auspicious. I think the best way to have a housewarming ceremony is to actually try to study and hear Bhagavatam. And that is why Prabhu and Mataji have actually given all of us this opportunity. I've made only 10 copies of the verse that I want to do because I ran out of cartridge. Not paper, but cartridge. So if there are 20 of you, then you have to divide it. Otherwise, it's 3 into 1, whichever way. It's a very nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is actually, if you read this verse, it is actually a parallel verse to a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's try and chant, and then after that we can try to say something on it, and then we can end the program with Sankirtan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Reading from the first canto, chapter 3, text 38. The chapter is entitled, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Sarve dadatuhu padavim parasya.
Sarve dadatuhu padavim parasya.
Duranta viryasya ratanga pane.
Duranta viryasya ratanga pane.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Savedadatu padavim parasya.
Savedadatu padavim parasya.
Duranta viryasya rathanga pane.
Duranta viryasya rathanga pane.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Savedadhatu padavim parasya.
Savedadhatu padavim parasya.
Duranta viryasya rathanga pane.
Duranta viryasya rathanga pane.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Savedadatu padavim parasya.
Savedadatu padavim parasya.
Duranta viryasya yaratanga pane.
Duranta viryasya yaratanga pane.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham.
Anyone else?
Savedadatu padavam parasya.
Savedadatu padavim parasya.
Duranta viryasya
ratanga pane.
Yo mayaya santataya nuvritya.
Matajis?
Savedadatu padavim parasya.
Savir Dhatu Padavim Parasya Dugandha Viryasya Thanga Pane Yomaya Santatayanu Vritya
Saha, he alone, Veda, Kenno, Dhatuhu, of the Creator, Padavim, Glories, Parasya, of the Transcendence, Duranta Viryasya, of the Greatly Powerful, Rathanga Anga Panehe, of Lord Krishna, who bears in his hand the wheel of a chariot, Yaha, one who, Amayaya, without reservation, Santataya, without any gap, Anuvrittya, favorably, Bhajeta, renders service, Tatpada, of his feet, Saroja Gandham, fragrance of the lotus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Please hear the purport. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form, and activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely freed from the reactions of fruitive activity, fruitive work, and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render incessant service to the Lord spontaneously, without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service unto Him unfavorably. But those who render service unto Him directly, under the direction of His beloved agent, are rendering service unto Him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord. And by the grace of the Lord, they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Himself guides the pure devotees towards the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. Fruitive activities and speculation are no qualification for entering. Fruitive activities and speculation are no qualification for entering. O Bhagnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavani Shuri Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate
कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरे त्रिशे नमः वाञ्छा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासवि भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे
So actually, this verse is telling us how to know Krishna. When you read the verse, you find that only those who render the devotional service in this way can know the creator of the universe. That means Krishna. And know him in what way? Know him in his full glory, in his power and his transcendence. So, it's a very important verse because we are all in Krishna consciousness. And in one sense, we know who Krishna is, but it doesn't mean that we know Krishna. There's a difference. This knowing Krishna's full power, glory and transcendence refers to realization. And there's a difference between realization and knowledge. Knowledge simply means that we have read about something and then we maybe repeat what we have read. But there is a vast difference between one who reads and obtains knowledge and then practices that knowledge. One who acts on knowledge that he reads from Bhagavatam, he is considered to have faith. But if we don't act on the knowledge that we read or we study about, then our faith is missing. Prabhupada gave a nice definition of faith in his conversations. Faith means to act with knowledge. If you have knowledge that if you press a certain pedal of the car, it will stop, that is your theory. Now when you start your first practice session, you know the theory. But if you still don't press the brake, then the car will never move or never stop. It may move, but unfortunately may not stop. So until we act on the knowledge that we have read, it is very difficult to know Krishna in his full glory, his transcendence. So this is something we have to be very careful about. Knowledge which is just obtained for knowledge's sake can sometimes end up becoming speculative. We can become armchair speculators and think and we don't practice. Prabhupada said, told one story about three men who was waiting for a mango to drop. And the mango was ripe. So whole day they waited for the mango because mango is sweet. The purpose of them being under the mango tree was to get the mango. After getting the mango, they were not supposed to see the mango. They were supposed to taste the mango. So while waiting, the mango was on the branch. And then suddenly, a crow sits on the branch. And then there is a gust of wind. And at that point of time, the mango drops. So the three men have been waiting for a long time. They have knowledge that mango is on the tree. They have knowledge that the crow was there. They have knowledge that the branch was there. And then the gust of wind came and the mango fell. So then the question, before they could pick up, they picked up the mango and they should have tasted the mango. But instead one of them asked the question, what do you think caused the mango to drop? And the second man took association of the first man. So he decided he will answer. So he said it probably dropped because of the gust of wind. Then the third man said, no, it's not the gust of wind. It's actually the weight of the crow on the tree. And then the first man who asked the question went back and said, no, it's a combination of both. Because it was the gust of wind combined with the fact that there was weight of the bird on the tree. So these two factors combined caused the mango to fall. And they continued arguing. And one boy passes by. He sees three men talking, but he sees a very sweet mango on the floor. And then he picks up the mango. And he bites into the mango and he goes. So Prabhupada made this point to say that what is the point of understanding or finding out why the mango dropped when the purpose was to taste the mango? If the purpose was to taste the mango, then when the mango fell, when we had the knowledge that this is mango, we should have acted on it. By not acting on it, we don't really know the mango.
We don't know it in its full power, its full glory, its full taste. We just speak about the mango. So devotional service should not become that way. If we just speak about it, sit on Vyasasan, give class, but don't act on it, then there is no realization. The word realization is very nice. It's realization. So until we make this real, then it is just knowledge. So this is an important point here. So if we want to know Krishna, then this verse tells us the formula. The second point the verse tells us is, to know Krishna, we have to perform service. But what kind of service to perform to Krishna is also nicely given as a formula in this verse. And the third thing that's very important is that this verse also tells us that there is a direct correlation between realizing Krishna in his glories and the service and the mood of service that we do. Only when the mood of service is the way described in the verse, then one can actually know Krishna in full glory and power and transcendence. So, for those who know Krishna in that manner, then I think Bhagavad Gita is very clear. In 4.9, Krishna says very nicely that for those who know the activities and the appearance of Krishna, if they know the appearance, the reason and the fact that Krishna appears and the actual reason for his appearance, and also the fact that one who knows the true nature of my appearance and the true nature of my activities, what happens to such a person? That person doesn't come back into this material world. And upon death, he goes back to the abode of Krishna. So that is very clear. That is why we may know about Krishna, but until we follow what the verse is telling us, we may come back again to this material world. So the next point we must ask ourselves is, these kinds of services that is being given in this Bhagavatam verse, if we don't follow them, then they actually become disqualifications. This is very important. Sometimes we think that we require to qualify to take up devotional service. But at the same breath, we forget that by not taking this up, then we are disqualifying ourselves. So it is two sides of the same coin, but it's important for us to recognize it. Sometimes we say there are so many obstacles in my devotional service. The obstacles are coming because knowledge is there, but realization, acting is not there. And because we are disqualifying ourselves by not acting. So this is very important. The first point in Bhagavatam that comes up here is actually the word amayaya. Amayaya, if you read word to word, is without reservation. And Prabhupada translates it as unreserved. So when you talk about unreserved, it's easy to understand it. If you take a simple example, if you travel on train in India with reservation, and you travel on train with India without reservation, I think 90% of us have done both, isn't it? Peak periods to get reservation, very difficult. You just jump on the train and you go. Have you realized what is your mentality when you have reservation and no reservation? If you think very carefully, when you have reservation, you feel very cushy. But when you don't have reservation, then you're very surrendered, you know. You have to be surrendered. In an unreserved compartment, you don't know which part of the compartment you could be. I remember we traveled on unreserved, there's no ticket, no reservation. We got on board the train in Mumbai, Saurashtra Express, and it took us 21 hours to Dwarka. No reservation. And half the time we were next to the toilet. Because it was peak time, everybody was going to Dwarka. No place. And even if you got a place, if you got up to go to the toilet, place is gone. Because no reservation. Right? So when one doesn't have reservation, then what happens is, there is no expectation. This is very important. When you get on board knowing you got no reservation, your mind is very free. Because you're ready to take on whatever that comes, as long as you're on the train. But if you have reservation, then it's very different. Then you expect, my seat should be here, someone else is sitting. We also have had that experience, isn't it? You got a reserved ticket, suddenly two people are sitting on one seat. And you have to show them and prove to them, this is my reservation. And then they reluctantly get up, as if they were the ones who were sitting on the reserved seat. It happens. So when you have reservations, then what happens is there is expectation. But you can see the pure devotees of the Lord, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, they render devotional service without expecting any benefits from the Lord, especially material benefits. This is unreserved devotional service. This means without reservation. That's why when we travel without reservation, even though the compartment is difficult, we are more steady, because we are ready to be renounced, ready to, you know, push it out, fight it out if we have to, as long as we are staying in the carriage. That's it. So the idea of being unreserved in devotional service is that instead of having so many expectations, I've come to devotional service, therefore these conditions must be there. When there are expectations, we set conditions for devotional service. Prabhu, if these conditions are not there, I'm not going to cook. Prabhu, if these conditions are not there, I can't do arati. Prabhu, if these things are not there, I can't clean the temple. Or if I don't have this much time, I can't do Bhagavatam. So with all these expectations, how can we be unreserved? It's very difficult to become unreserved. That's why when devotees start preaching, in the days of Prabhupada, you find the consistent point that Prabhupada gave in Lilamrita is that just one, two persons go somewhere without reservation, start preaching. Don't have to wait for 10 people to follow you. Prabhupada is very particular. Just one, two persons should go and start the program. That's it. Train yourself up. Learn to cook. Learn to offer. Learn to take care of deities. Go on Harinam. And that's it. And if the devotees complained there was no manpower, Prabhupada said, well, there's two of you. That's enough. So that means that we are unreserved. Otherwise, what we always think is, if we want to start a new center, oh, we should have about 50 devotees, all set, and then everything is okay. But actually, two devotees who are sincere can start a revolution in any part of the world. That's all it requires. We have seen in all the programs that you all have started, the Tampanese program, Tejas Prabhu, Balakrishnan Prabhu, you know, Sengkang program, they all started with only 2-3 devotees. And suddenly we have a whole team of devotees coming. This is unreserved. We don't have expectation when we start the devotional service. So when you give up the expectation, it becomes unreserved. And once we are unreserved, then you find that our senses actually become controlled. It's when you expect that your senses aren't controlled. When you know that you have no reservation, you're ready for whatever renunciation you have to take on the train. You're ready. But if you expect a nice seat and then you don't get it, then your senses are not in control. You become very agitated. So actually, there's a lot to be learned in reservation and non-reservation. Just with a train, we can learn so much about Bhagavatam. The other point that's very important is, when we reserve something, that means we keep it. And very often, whatever you reserve, you take space. When there is reservation of any kind, supposing I speak to you now and I say, Prabhu, I like this idea, but I have reservations. What does it mean? It means I'm keeping something. Huh? These are my reservations. When you keep something, then what happens is, your heart is not completely clear to accept what Krishna wants. In fact, you are not completely open in your heart for Krishna. My Guru Maharaj always taught us that in a house, the dirt doesn't accumulate in the center of the house. The dirt always accumulates in the corners of the house. It reserves itself in the corner. And if we are not particular to clean up the corners, then the dirt remains. That's why you see the hallmark of pure devotees in Bhagavatam is they never kept anything in heart. When Ambarish Maharaj was subjected to so much difficulty by Durvasa Muni, he waited one whole year for Durvasa Muni to make his yatra. To go first to see Brahmaji, then go to Mount Kailash, and then make a detour straight to Vaikuntha, and then was told that you wasted your time for a year, you should have just fallen at the feet of Ambarish. And after one whole year when he came back, if I were Ambarish Maharaj, I would have eaten him up to break my fast. Because I'd be so tired of him. But when Ambarish Maharaj saw Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni fell at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj, what did he do? Bhagavatam tells us. He actually felt embarrassed. That is the word used in the 9th canto. He felt ashamed and embarrassed. How should he fall? He felt very unqualified. So what did he do? He embraced Durvasa Muni very tightly. And Durvasa Muni said very nicely in Bhagavatam there. He said, today, my dear king, I have understood the nature of great devotees. Because though I meant you ill, you only wished me good. We can only be well-wishers and good preachers. Because good preachers are well-wishers if there is no corner in our hearts. The moment there is corner, there is dirt. The moment there is dirt, then there is expectation, there is desire, And on top of desire, if expectation is not met, there is frustration. And all this drag us away from knowing the Lord in His full glory, His full power and His full transcendence. So that is why the way to keep the heart clean, to keep it unreserved, is very nicely given in Bhagavatam. In 2nd Canto, 8th chapter, 4th verse, Shukadev Goswami gives a foundational verse for Bhagavatam. Shranavatam Shraddaya Nityam Granathascha Swachestitam Kalena Nati Dirvena Bhagavan Vishate Hriddhi. It's a very important verse. And Shukadev Goswami says that those who are always hearing Bhagavatam, and how do they hear Bhagavatam? They hear it regularly. Not only do they hear it regularly, but they hear it with earnestness. Shraddaya is translated in Bhagavatam not just as faith. In many parts of Bhagavatam, Shraddha means faith. But in this verse, Prabhupada translates Shraddaya as in earnestness. That means one must be eager to hear about Bhagavatam. Those who hear Bhagavatam regularly, with earnestness, and Granathascha Swachestitam, who take this matter very seriously. This is a very nice point. Swachestitam means one must endeavor. To clean the house, you have to endeavor. You have to take the broom and you go to the corner and clean it. And when you're cleaning it, if you have sinus, good luck to you, because you start sneezing and sneezing. That's also there. But it's necessary. After the sneezing, the house is pure, then no more sinus, or at least reduce sinus. So this point is very important. And how does it come? We must be regular in hearing Bhagavatam. But regular, Prabhupada also translates here one-to-one word as always. Because regular can mean once a year. Isn't it? You think about it, Prabhu, I'm very regular in Bhagavatam. Why? First day of the year, I hear Bhagavatam. That's highly regular, isn't it? But that's not always. So Prabhupada is very smart. He saw that, and that's why he writes here, Nityam means regularly, comma, always. The second one is to catch us, because mind is very speculative, as he writes in the last line of the purport. So when we are regular, it means daily. It means, Prabhus and Mataji's, wherever there is a corner. Corner means there is a time. You just take up a verse and you bury your head and you study it. Don't waste your time in outreach and other things, because these things have no foundation until we have Bhagavatam. Sometimes we want to do so many things, but we ignore the foundation. So a building looks very nice, but foundation is rotten, eventually the building must come down. This is the point. That's why throughout Bhagavatam and throughout Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada has made it very clear. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, always, and who are always taking this matter seriously, Prabhupada translates, in no time at all, kalena na ati dirgena, in no time at all, they will be able to see Krishna. This is a very important point. This is how the corner dirt is gone. This is how we don't keep reservations in the heart. This is how we become free of criticisms and offenses to devotees. There has never been in the history of Vaishnavism a devotee who is absorbed in Bhagavatam but who is critical of devotees. The two just don't mix. Devotees who are absorbed in Bhagavatam have no time to be criticizing devotees. They simply have no time. Why? Because they are absorbed in Bhagavatam. And they are absorbed in service. This is the service. And those who hear Bhagavatam, then Krishna says, Pravishta Karna Randrena. That means those who are hearing, what happens is, through the holes of the ears, this beautiful message of Bhagavatam enters. Pravishta Karna Randrena, Swanam Bhava Saroruram. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He seats Himself on the lotus flower of the loving relationship between Him and the devotee. Do you know how poetic that is, if you think about it? The Supreme Personality of Godhead sits on the lotus flower of the loving relationship between Him and the devotee. So the loving relationship between devotee and Krishna is on the platform of unreserved study and practice of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the moment we do that, then what happens to Him? Dhunoti shamalam Krishnaha. Whatever sinful reactions, whatever lust, anger, avarice, hankering, sarilasya yatha asharat. Just like the cool autumn rains come and they bring nice breeze and nice water, Bhagavatam tells us in the same way, a devotee who takes up Bhagavatam in this way, he becomes very blissful. And it acts, this act of cleansing is like the rains washing away on muddy waters. This is the thing. And when a devotee does that, A pure devotee, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, a pure devotee who has this service mood of unreserved service, then what happens to him? Then the next verse is nice. Dautatmaha Purusha Krishnaha. This devotee, Pada Moolam Na Munchati. He has no other engagement, no other destination except the lotus feet of Krishna. Even though he may be in material difficulties. Sudama is a great example. Sudama was materially impoverished. So he was in so much difficulty. Sudama's condition to remember Krishna was actually very difficult. When you don't have food in the stomach, when your wife also says, I don't have food in stomach, when children say, I'm hungry, it's very difficult to remember Krishna. Especially when you know you and Krishna long time ago were classmates, and then now Krishna is right at the top of the ladder and you're right at the bottom. You'd be thinking, my God, we two went to school together. He is in a palace, I'm in a hut. But Sudama's mood was very nice. This unreserved devotional service comes to another point that's important. My Guru Maharaj said, while looking at other people's palaces, we should not burn our huts. While looking at other people's palaces, don't burn your huts. Very often we may live in a hut and see someone's palace. But we can never get the palace, but we burn our hut anyway. And in that way we become even more frustrated in life. Why? Because we are never satisfied with what Krishna gives. That's why those who go into a train without reservation, they are satisfied. It's okay, I got a place, I'm going to Dwarka, that's all that counts. They never think, hey, I should have got AC. You don't even have reservation, man. So how can you speak about AC? This is very important. So those who believe that way, they behave that way. So Sudama is a good example. And that is why the pure devotees, 286 tells us, they never relinquish the lotus feet of the Lord in any situation. Why? Because the lotus feet fully satisfy them. And they fully satisfy Krishna because of that. And because they satisfy Krishna, their hearts become completely satisfied. If you please the Lord, then only you can please yourself. This is a very important point. People forget that one can only become satisfied when Krishna is satisfied. How can we become satisfied if we haven't satisfied Krishna? How can we become undisturbed if we are trying to disturb Krishna? So until we perform acts in such a way to please Krishna, satisfaction will always elude us. So sometimes as devotees we become agitated. We think, why is it I'm in difficulty? But the point is, have we satisfied the Lord? Are we behaving in such a way that the Lord and, as Prabhupada writes in the purport so nicely, the Lord and His agents. His agents means His pure devotees. Our spiritual masters, our sikshas, our dikshas. Have we satisfied them? If we satisfy them, that means we have satisfied Krishna. So that's why when Durvasa Muni came looking very distressed, Ambarish Maharaj did not continue to be unsatisfied. In fact, for the whole year, Ambarish Maharaj was very peaceful. Bhagavatam said he waited, didn't eat, he waited for a year for his guests to come back. And after the guests came back very, very sad, and after he had embraced him, after he had actually offered him sweet words and then broken fast with him, then what happened? Then Durvasa Muni became satisfied himself. Why? Because for 1 year he did not satisfy the pure devotee of the Lord. So he went to Lord Shiva, he was not satisfied. He went to Lord Brahma, he was not satisfied. He even went to the Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. And even there, he could not become peaceful. He could only become peaceful when he fell at the lotus feet of the pure agent of the Lord. So how can we invite Krishna into our heart if our heart has all these corners? No space, isn't it? Supposing now if this house, Prabhu had 3, 4, 5 furnitures, one big cupboard there and everything. Then he said, Prabhu, Mataji is come and sit down. We can't sit. Why? Because the house has so many other things. So how to sit? We'll be sitting in the corners. That is what would happen. But see, because this house has nothing, it's open. So when the heart is open, it can be filled very nicely. All the four corners we are devotees. See, corners everywhere devotees are there. So that is the process. So this is the first point we have to understand. The second point that's really nice is the word santataya. Santataya, if you read it, is uninterrupted. But if you read the word to word, Prabhupada is giving us the beautiful clue. Without any gap. Without any gap. This is important point. You will realize that the only way to protect something is when you draw a clean line. If at any point, if you're damming water, for example, and if there's a gap in any of your structures, the water must pass through. It must pass through. So when we have a gap between us and Krishna, then that devotional service will be interrupted. It will be interrupted. And this gap is very often there because of the fact that we don't see Krishna's hand in what we are doing or in what is happening to us. Ambarish Maharaj had no gap in his devotional service. When he was remembering Krishna before Durvasa Muni, he was always remembering Krishna. When Durvasa Muni came, he had to wait for him. He was chanting and remembering Krishna. When Durvasa Muni cursed him and the terrible being came to attack him, he did not say, "Stop remembering Krishna, I got to do something." No. He also remembered Krishna. And he just left it to Krishna. He did not press emergency button, "Krishna, you have to help me." No. If you read Bhagavatam, no emergency. He continued as he was. And because his service was without any gap, Krishna actually protected him. How? By Sudarshan Chakra. So Sudarshan Chakra came and did what he should have done. But because he had no gap in devotional service, Krishna took over. Arjuna is the same example. When Bhishma Dev took the vow that Arjuna must perish, it was Krishna who could not sleep in the night. Isn't it? Arjuna slept very well. There was no problems for him to sleep. Why? Because he had faith in Krishna. When Sudama went all the way to Dwarka to see Krishna, and after seeing him, he did not get anything from Krishna because he didn't even ask anything from Krishna. As he was coming back, in his mind and heart, he was thinking, "Krishna is so kind. He knows I don't deserve any of these things because then I will forget him. As it is, I'm not remembering him so much. But if I have more, I will forget him." So thinking that way, without any gap in the devotional service, he continued. And the result was, when he came back to his house in Porbandar, it was not a hut, it was a palace. He didn't have to burn his hut to get a palace. The palace was there because it was given by Krishna. That's why for devotees who perform uninterrupted devotional service, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, whatever that we lack, Krishna provides. And whatever that we don't have, or whatever we have, Krishna will preserve. When we all took up devotional service, what did we lose? We didn't lose anything. We lost all the bad things. That's very good. And we gained so many good things, isn't it? And then after, we didn't lose anything. But we, like I said, we gained so much. We gained so much in devotional service. But we didn't have to do anything. Krishna took care of everything. And even now, He's taking care of everything. That's why we are peaceful. You all know, whenever you perform the devotional service, the more we perform it without gap, the more we perform it without reservations, without any corners in the heart, then what happens? Then Krishna keeps us yayatma suprasidati. This is very important. That's why this verse is the mirror verse of the verse savai pumptam paro dharmo yathor bhaktir adoksuje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. The spirit soul can only become satisfied, Bhagavatam declares, if the devotional service rendered to the absolute truth, the supreme absolute truth, is rendered in this manner. It is without motive and it is uninterrupted. And in 6th canto, 16th chapter, 34th verse, Prabhupada declares unequivocally in his purport that one who does not approach Krishna with material motive, but only with a purpose to fulfilling the pleasure of the Lord and his devotees, to that devotee, Prabhupada writes in the purport, his devotional service will continue uninterrupted. It's very, very nice. Some people ask, which one must come first? Is it uninterrupted, then become unmotivated, or unmotivated, become uninterrupted? Prabhupada answers it, 6.16.34. He says, if your motive is right, your devotional service will never stop. Krishna will keep giving you service, 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 service. But if your mind is mental speculation, as the last line Prabhupada warns us, if we are mentally speculating all the time, then we become offensive. When we become offensive, you realize our services stop. Our mind will tell us, I don't want to do the service because this person is like that. I can't get along with this person. I see this person, my blood pressure goes up. And then no service. But we blame the people. But if you read 6.16.34, you can only blame yourself. You can only blame yourself because your motive was wrong. You wanted so many conditions to be fulfilled before I can discharge devotion service. Bhakti must be discharged without conditions. That is ahaituki apratihata. That is why the great devotees can do it. If you read the purport to 285, there's a very important point of this point that Prabhupada says. And I just want to read it. Prabhupada writes in the purport, by sincere efforts to hear Bhagavatam, one will realize his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, parental affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one will become situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is a powerful statement. Prabhupada is saying, sincerely we must make efforts to hear Bhagavatam. That is foundational for us. Then Prabhupada goes on that not only were all the pure devotees like Narada self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus. Spiritual impetus means inspiration. So not only must we do devotional service, but we must follow in the footsteps of Narada. The best way to study Bhagavatam is once we study Supatan, right? Once we hear Tat Shranavan, once we hear Supatan. Supatan means we act on it, we take it, we digest it, and then after doing that, we then spread it to the rest of the world. Because whatever you repeat, you remember. Isn't it true? When you want to memorize something, normally we have few ways of doing it. One, some of us write, you remember. Because you committed to writing. The other way is speak very loudly. Parents would think you're mad. You know, sometimes I used to study and I would speak very loudly. Mother think I'm really mad. But what I was doing is I was repeating what I was already hearing. And I found after repeating a few times, it just gets stuck in the head. So in the same way, after you read about Krishna, please repeat this to someone else. That is preaching. So when devotees meet with each other, imagine how much of preaching we can do for each other. If we all, provided we are all reading Bhagavatam every day. If every day we are reading one shloka, we are reading some beautiful realization, all we have to do is when we meet on Saturday, instead of discussing about the weather and everything else, we can discuss all the verses we learn for the week. In fact, we don't need to have for a week. There are so many Namhat programs going on all the different parts of our island in Singapore. We can take advantage of sharing in this way. So Prabhupada then writes, they became so powerful because they sincerely followed Bhagavatam principles by regularly hearing and worshipping. Full stop. Prabhupada is giving us a glimpse into the greatness of the pure devotees. He's telling us they, Narada, and all self-realized souls became so powerful because they sincerely followed Bhagavatam principles. Not, I have to do it, no choice. The word is sincerely. Sincerely means without reservation. Without reservation means without interruption. Without any gap. They just continuously did that. Never stopped. So this is actually the clue. If we want to improve our devotional service such that we become better instruments in the hand of the Lord and His pure devotees, we should follow in their footsteps. Don't imitate the Mahajans, but we should follow in their footsteps. And what is the qualification? Regularly hearing and worshipping Bhagavatam principles. The word Prabhupada uses here is to worship the principles of Bhagavatam. That means how important are the principles of Bhagavatam given to us? If we take it for granted, then the corners will come. When the corners come, the gaps will appear. And when the gaps appear, then the motives come. So where there are gaps, Maya will come. And that's why the examples are really nice. Vritasur had no gap in his devotional service. He was born to kill Indra. But he became friend of Indra. And ultimately he became friend of Indra so that he could be killed by Indra. He didn't bear grudges in his heart to Indra. He fought because it was the principle of his duty to fight. But he welcomed the fact that Indra would be victorious in this material world. Because while Vritasur appeared to lose the battle, he won the war. How? Because by dying on the battlefield, Indra took 365 days to cut off his head. But all Vritasur had to do was to fix his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. And in doing so, he left this material world. So Indra continued cutting something that had no value anymore. And all Indra got for 365 days of cutting Vritasur's head was the sin of killing a brahmana and a great devotee, and then sin personified in the form of an old woman with fishy smell, with blood falling from her, kept running after him wherever he went. Imagine, after this, supposed to go back to Swargaloka, instead ran around because a fishy old lady was running after him. What a terrible parody of life. And where is this great demon Vritasur? He chanted nice verses in glorification of Krishna and he's gone back home, back to Godhead. How would you feel if you were Indra? Very frustrating, isn't it? And Indra had to run and run and run all around, Bhagavatam says, and everywhere sin personified followed him, until he had no recourse but to go to the lakes of Manasa Sarovar. And there he went into the lotus stem of a flower, and there deep in the lotus flame, in the depths of the lake, he opened one up, became very small, and went inside and stayed there. And he stayed there for years and years and years and years, Bhagavatam said. And sometimes Agnidev could bring some of the oblations that people would offer to him. But sometimes Agni and water, not very good friends. So Agni didn't want to come and get wet, because he's fire. So on those days, Indra had to do nirjal. What to do? Force nirjal. Nothing to eat. No one offering him anything. All because there was a gap. And Vritasur had no gap. This is a very important point. So these are the two things, the two pillars. And when we have these two pillars, Bhagavatam tells us, then there is a third pillar that we need for service. And that is anuvrittya. Anuvrittya means to be favorable. This is such an important point. Prabhupada stresses in the purport that when one is favorable, then the Lord favors him. But even if one is unfavorable, he still has to render service to Krishna. Prabhupada writes very nicely in the purport. Those who are favorable or not favorable, they have to render service to Krishna. It's our constitutional nature. But those who render service to Krishna in a favorable manner, there is no gap. And they are always protected by the Lord and his devotees and devotional service. That's why you see Duryodhana and all the demons in Bhagavatam, they were forced to render service. How? They were forced to become part of the plan of the Lord. That was their service. Duryodhan didn't want to die. He didn't want to die at the hands of Bhima. But Mahabharata was such that it was ultimately the will of the Lord that he had to be killed. So he also had to play his part. How can we understand the greatness of Prahlad if we don't have such a demon as Hiranyakashipu? So Hiranyakashipu had to play his part. He didn't like it. He didn't want to. But he was forced to be in service of Krishna. Why? Because either you're on the side of Krishna or you're on the other side. And if you're on the other side, then the ending is always the same. You know, in all other movies, movies always end differently. But in this movie, if you don't serve Krishna, it only ends one way. It always ends with painful and difficult death. Death simply means forgetfulness of Krishna. And inspiration simply means remembrance of Krishna. The devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, at the time came for them to leave, their eyes did not bulge out, as Bhagavatam tells us. The mucus did not choke their throat and they had to make this guru guru sound that Bhagavatam tells us. Instead, they were very fine. They were not senile. In fact, he was looking around for his mother. Where's my mother? My mother brought me to Krishna, therefore mother should be ahead of me. How much consciousness he had. But those who are not with Krishna, at the time when they leave, their consciousness is very dull. Because so many corners, so many reservations, but the train is leaving. That they don't understand. The train is leaving. Sometimes the train has left. So this point we must not forget. One must be favorable. When we are favorable to Krishna, it doesn't mean we can become unfavorable to devotees. This is a big problem sometimes. That's why the separatist Kapila Dev says, he's very favorable to Krishna as deity. But the moment he moves away from Krishna and closes the altar of the curtain, he's very unfavorable with devotees. He cannot see and perceive that Krishna is in the hearts of the devotees. He cannot perceive how dear the devotees are to Krishna. And that is why he's always in trouble. Look at Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was nearing the end of his life, at least in this material vision. And if memory serves me right, Madhavendra Puri was leaving, and Ishwar Puri and Ramchandra Puri, they were serving Madhavendra Puri. Both were disciples, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us. But Madhavendra Puri was serving the lotus feet of his spiritual master the way he would serve the lotus feet of the Lord, with full dedication, with full humility, and with full submission. So his devotional service had no reservation, and his devotional service had no gap, and he was very favorable to his devotional, to his spiritual master. But look at Ramchandra Puri. Ramchandra Puri was very critical of Madhavendra Puri. So when Madhavendra Puri expressed such a very elevated state of separation from Krishna, and he said, "Hey Natha, where are you? Oh Lord, Lord of my heart, where are you?" Ramchandra Puri criticized him. He actually gave tatva to him. And he told him that, "How can you say that where is Krishna when Krishna is always in the hearts of everyone?" Imagine saying that to an exalted personality like Madhavendra Puri. But he did that because, though Ramchandra Puri was a very great scholar of his times, his heart had reservations because anuvrittya was not there. So Prabhupada writes in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he created the offense of trying to instruct his own spiritual master because he was critical in nature. And after that, Ramchandra Puri was banished by Madhavendra Puri. He said, "I don't want to leave this world with you in front of me." And look at the opposite of Ramchandra Puri was Ishwar Puri. Ishwar Puri's way of serving the spiritual master is ideal. There were no gaps in his service. Always uninterrupted service. His service was done with great faith, with great lack of reservation. He had no corners in his heart. Why? His spiritual master was all in all. If we make Krishna all in all, and if we make our service to devotees all in all, then this favorable attitude of anuvrittya will allow us to actually advance in devotional service. Then the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the devotees come to us. This is a very important point that we must understand. So the word anuvrittya means to see the hand of Krishna. This is very important. In Bhagavatam, Krishna is known as Otam Protam. He is known as horizontal and vertical. If you see the kurta is actually made up of threads, and all the threads are running in Otam Protam. So if you have X-ray vision, you won't see the white. You see all crisscross, crisscross, crisscross. So actually, the fabric of the kurta, the quality actually holds the kurta together. If the quality of the fabric is very nice, the kurta will last long time. But what happens is, if you wash the kurta in water very roughly, like we do, you know, we squeeze it, we do this, do that, then what happens is, you're breaking the otam and protam. You break the fabric, and therefore your kurtas end up, that's why you have holes in your dhotis, because the fabric is not good. So the point is, until we become favorable to Krishna and see Krishna as otam and protam, then it is very difficult to advance in devotional service. Sudama saw Krishna's hand in his poverty. That's why when he went to see Krishna, he did not ask for wealth. His wealth was seeing Krishna. His wealth was remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, he is known as Srimant. Srimant in Bhagavatam means one who has opulence in his hand. But because Sudama had nothing else, therefore he had nothing else except Krishna. So when he saw Krishna, he didn't lack anything. The same with Vritasur. Vritasur had nothing. He had all the qualities of a demon. At least he was born as demon. But body is not the qualification for bhakti. Consciousness is the qualification for bhakti. So because he was Chitraketu Maharaj in his previous life, Krishna actually protected his consciousness even as a demon and made him remember the Supreme Lord. So even though he appeared as demon, but his consciousness was anuvrittya. It was favorable. So when Vritasur saw that Indra had dropped his weapon, for example, Indra dropped his weapon. The first was his club. The second was his thunderbolt. The first weapon when he dropped, he became moros. Why? Because when he threw the weapon first at Vritasur, Vritasur caught it as someone would catch garlands, just like that. And then he threw it back and it hit Airavata's nose. And Airavata began to, it hit his trunk and he began bleeding. And Bhagavatam said he fell back 14 yards. Can you imagine? 14 yards, you count for a big elephant. Airavata is not like our Singapore Zoo elephant. It's not even African elephant size, you know. If you read, Airavata is very, very big elephant. But he fell. And then the club fell off Indra's hand. And Indra became very morose. Why? Because Indra lacked faith that he would win the battle. Vritasur had more faith that Indra would win the battle. Can you imagine? Indra had the endorsement of Krishna, walks into the battlefield, but no confidence. Vritasur knows now Indra is the celebrated warrior who's going to win the battle, but he has to give confidence therapy now to Indra. And that's what he does. For the next 6-7 verses, Indra now is coached or counseled or mentored by Vritasur. Vritasur says, do you not realize, Indra, that we are all pawns in the game, you know, and our carriers, you know, are just also part of the dice of the board. The carriers are the board of the game, and we are all the pawns in the game. Who knows who will win and who knows who will lose? This is what he was saying. What do we control? So one who is favorable knows, one, I'm not in control of anything. Then we become favorable. You watch consistently. Duryodhana thought he controlled everything. Therefore, he was unfavorable to Krishna. Every demon was unfavorable to Krishna because they thought they controlled everything. But see the contrast in Bhagavatam of devotees. Every devotee submitted to the will of the Lord because the Smaridam Daivam Tantram. Bharata Vivasya Bharata Rishabha Tasya Anubihitaha Anataha Nata Nahi Praja Prabho. First Canto, 9th chapter, 17th verse. Bhishma Dev very nicely tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, all that has happened in the Mahabharata war is the enchantment of providence. It is the enchantment of the Lord. It is His will. Therefore, you are helpless. And therefore, following the will of the Lord, you must follow it. You must now become the king to your helpless subjects. So the mood of devotees is that we always accept favorably. We never accept that we are in control. When a devotee knows he's not in control, then he's fully controlled. By who? Krishna, devotional service, and the principles of Bhagavatam. When the devotee tries very hard to exert his mental speculation to control something, that's when he becomes distressed. That's when he becomes very dissatisfied. That's when he becomes attached to everything else except Bhagavatam. This is the problem. So if we become attached, we should become attached. Attachment is very good, but attachment must be to Bhagavatam. To Bhagavatam, to Bhagavatam. If we do that, then we become free. So this is Anuvrittya. And another way to understand Anuvrittya is very nicely given by the prayer of Prithu Maharaj. In the 4th canto, 20th chapter, 31st verse, Prithu Maharaj says very nicely, Tvanmayayadha janaisha kandito yad anyad ashashtaritatmana buddha yathachare balahitam pita swayam tatha tvamevar hasina samihitum. The translation is very nice. Prithu Maharaj prays to the Lord and he says, my Lord, due to your illusory energy, somehow or another, all living beings in this material world, including myself, that is his mood, we have all forgotten our real constitutional position. This is the first point. The second point, out of ignorance, we are desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship and love. As long as we attach to society and material concept of friendship and material concept of love, we'll always have reservations in the heart. We cannot be favorable to Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam rejects these notions. Dharma projita kaitava atra paramo. Friendship, society and love are all ultimately motivated by our false ego. We say we love someone, but that's because of what we can get from them. We say we love you as a friend, but that's because what I can get from you. We say I love my family, but the families are extensions of our false ego. So if I couldn't do dance classes, then my son must do dance classes. Normally sons don't dance, huh? I'm just giving an example. So that way we extend our ego. Sometimes devotees work very hard. Our children must learn all the shlokas. Why? Because then if they don't know shlokas, they will think, what kind of devotee the father is? So what is the motive? Is the motive that the son should become the advertisement of the father? Or is the motive that the son should become a devotee of the Lord? Which one? This is very important. So that's why he's saying friendship, love and society can exist in disguise even when we come to devotional service. Because we make it into material things. Entertainment. Nam Sankirtan Prabhu always tells me, now we should tell people enough of entertainment. Isn't it? How long we are going to entertain ourselves in devotional service? Oh, it's very entertaining. Devotional service is meant to be joyful. It's not a cable channel. But it also means that we dig in our heels and we really spend and sacrifice our life for the good Lord and the devotees. That is what makes devotional service sweet. So that is what Prithu Maharaj is saying. And finally he says, please don't ask me to ask some material benefit from you. Very nice. He's saying, Krishna, don't ask me to ask you for some material benefits. He's not saying, please don't give me some material benefits. Why? Because he says, just like a father knows the demands of the sons without even asking the son, in the same way, my Lord, you give me whatever you think is best for me. This is anuvrittya. Therefore, anything that comes to us, Prabhus and Matajis, we should follow 4.20.31. If we apply this, that means whatever has come is good for me. Krishna means everything is good. In bad times, we have to remember Krishna better, right? So that is good. If we are really down and we are going to die, well, better use the time to remember Krishna. That is good. If we lose our job and we say, Prabhu, what to do now? No job. Very good. We have to turn more to Krishna. We have to read more Bhagavatam. That's also good. If we are going to die, oh, I'm going to die, Prabhu, how to remember Krishna? Very good. Die remembering Krishna. What is the problem? So actually, if I'm very sick, Prabhu, I can't come to the temple, what do we do? No problems. The devotees will go and see you. That's what we will do. That's how we help each other in the material world. This is favorable. In 3rd canto, 16th chapter, the last verse, all the devatas were watching when Jai and Vijay fell down after being cursed by the Sanat Kumaras. And as they fell, all the omens of terrible things happening were coming. Why? Because Jai and Vijay would become Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So the devatas were worried. Why were they worried? Because Swargaloka will be compromised. That's what they were worried about. So because they were worried, they turned to Brahma. And they asked Brahma, what should we do, Brahmaji? What should we do? And what does Brahma tell them? Brahma's advice is the advice of anuvrittya, to be favorable. Brahmaji tells them, my dear sons, the Lord is the controller of all the modes of nature. He is responsible for creation, preservation and destruction of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yoga Maya, cannot be understood easily by the masters of yoga. Now he says this, that most ancient person alone will come to our rescue. This is faith. Faith comes because of favorable. When you are favorable, you have faith. When you are inimical, there is no faith. When we are favorable to devotees, we also increase our faith so much in Krishna. And when we are favorable to Krishna, we increase our faith in devotees. See? So this is what Brahma was saying, that most ancient person alone, he will come to your rescue. And then he ends by asking this question we should ask every time we lament. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on the subject? It's a nice question. Should put it up very big. Every morning wake up and read the question. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on the subject? In other words, mental speculation is not the qualification to enter the kingdom of God. That's how Prabhupada ends this verse. Mental speculation. Instead of speculating what happened to us, what will happen to us, Brahmaji is telling them, Krishna is in control. So what will happen to you will be decided by Krishna. That's what it means, he's in control. So why speculate? Instead of wasting your time speculating, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And that is why, to conclude this verse, you find that Krishna is being referred to in this verse as Ratangabani. This is the only verse in Bhagavatam where he is known as Ratangabani. Why? Because in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is remembering the great form of Krishna. The fact that Krishna broke his promise so that he could fulfill the promise of his devotee. His promise was don't lift weapons. Actually, chariot wheel also counts as weapon here, na? Because he took the chariot wheel to actually lash out at Bhishma. So it's not in the conventional sense. Anything can become weapon in the hand of Krishna. When Krishna decided, you know, as he was walking through Mathura, that the washerman was not very favorable to him, he just turned his hand into a sword and just chopped his head off. So that also can become weapon. Anything is weapon in the hand of the Lord. In this case, Bhishma Dev took the vow. Why? Because the night before, Duryodhan had actually insulted Bhishma Dev. And you know, when Kshatriyas are insulted, they are poked. They feel very bad. They must stand up because it's Kshatriya spirit. So Duryodhan accused Bhishma Dev of parental affection towards Arjuna and the Pandavas. Bhishma Dev, as a great warrior, fighting all the time on the Kaurava side, was thinking, this ungrateful Duryodhan, why would I be standing with him now if I'm not loyal? I should have long ago gone the other side. So he was insulted. So then he decided that he will take a vow. And at that point of time, he told Duryodhan that I promise you that I will fight in such a way that the whole Pandava army will be vanquished. Duryodhan becomes very happy. So Duryodhan then secures 5 powerful arrows. And he keeps it as safeguard. And he tells Bhishma Dev, tomorrow 5 arrows, 5 Pandavas for you. So he keeps it. But in the purport of Bhagavatam, 1937 of Bhagavatam, you read the Ratangapane pastime. Prabhupada describes it very beautifully. And Prabhupada says, while Duryodhan was holding him, of all things, Arjuna went to talk to him and convinced him to give up the 5 arrows. Can you imagine? How could that be possible if it was not the plan of the Lord? Duryodhan being Duryodhan, who could convince him to give up the 5 arrows? I'm the one with one arrow supposed to be on my head. Now you please give me all 5. And Duryodhan gave it to him. Just the same way, Gandhari told Duryodhan to come without any clothes in the middle of the night so that she could make him very powerful. And Duryodhan, of course, had to meet Krishna in the middle of the night with no clothes on. And Krishna asked him, Duryodhan, it's nice that you're walking around at night, but why are you walking around with no clothes, man? What's wrong with you? You are the foremost of the Kauravas, most noble of warriors, walking around without any clothes. And then Duryodhan, touched by the illusory nature of the Lord in the form of his energy, thought, hey, yeah, he's right. What am I doing walking around with no clothes? And then he said, Duryodhan said, I'm going to see my mother. Krishna laughs. Of all people to see with no clothes, you want to see your mother. So then he said, yeah, this looks even more foolish. Then Krishna advises him, put on a gamcha and go and see your mother. Then he thought, yeah, I'll put on gamcha. When I see her, I'll take it off. I'll be all right. How many times we have told ourselves, yes, yes, I remember. I'm going to do it, going to do it, going to do it. Forgot. And that's exactly what happened to Duryodhan. Why? Because he was not favorable. And because Ratangapani, Krishna's will was that ultimately he wanted Bhishma Dev to become so transcendently angry that he will fight. That's what he wanted. So then Duryodhan is cheated by Arjuna. And Duryodhan next morning has no arrows. Bhishma Dev says, where are the arrows? Duryodhan said, I'm sorry, I gave it to Arjuna. Bhishma Dev said, how did that happen? And he thought, this is the Lord. So Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada writes in the purport, says, I'm going to kill all 5 Pandavas today before sunset. Haribo. So then what happens? On that day, Prabhupada says, Bhishma Dev's fight was so intense, it appeared as if Arjuna will definitely die. And Krishna along with him, because he was also being shot all the arrows. So at that point of time, Bhagavatam tells us the arrows that came to Krishna, shot by Bhishma Dev, were like garlands being thrown to him. He didn't feel the pain because it was Bhishma Dev. So now Bhishma Dev had kept a promise. He must kill. Krishna was thinking, how do I help my devotee to keep his promise? At the same time, how do I not break my promise? So at that point of time, Krishna decides that the only way is that he must break his promise. So Krishna is ready to sacrifice his promise just to protect his devotee Arjuna. Because Krishna had 2 exalted devotees on the menu and he wanted to save both. And the best way he could do it was he breaks his promise. So he comes with the chariot and his Prabhupada writes, he comes with so much transcendental anger, he forgot that his upper cloth was no longer on him. So angry. And when he comes at that point of time, Bhishma Dev thought, today is the day. And he drops everything and he says, Lord, you accept me. This is favorable. Duryodhan would never have stood like that if Krishna came with the chariot. Karna would not have done that. But Bhishma Dev did that. No gap, no reservations, and absolutely favorable. And because he did that, it was Krishna's will, the fight ended for the day. That also was Krishna's will. Timing also, right to the point, was Krishna's will. And you see Arjuna in that famous painting, standing at the lotus feet of the Lord. Because Arjuna is also a devotee surrendered to him. So this is the greatness of what we talk about here. And the point is that one must be favorable. And that is why Sukadeva Goswami is remembering Ratangapani. Why? Because if one renders devotional service in these 3 ways, then Krishna's form as Ratangapani promises to always protect his devotee. That is the protection that we want. Not the protection of the body. Body is going to go. But the protection of our consciousness at the lotus feet of the Lord and his pure devotees. And that is why the verse ends so nicely by Prabhupada saying that we should actually be very, very careful not to have fruitive activities and speculation in our heart. Because the moment we have fruitive activities and speculation in our heart, then what happens is we will forget Krishna. Duryodhana had so much speculation and so much of fruitive activities. But Bhishma Dev did not see his duty as fruitive. Arjuna did not see his duty as fruitive. So we should not speculate. When we see devotees, we should not criticize. Always remember these three things. Be favorable with everyone. If we see the hand of Krishna in everything, that which looks unfavorable becomes a great source of remembrance of the Lord. And to end, we should not forget that when Prabhupada writes in this verse, you know, that Krishna is in his full glory, full transcendence, he really is very, very powerful. I was reading in the 12th canto the other day, and in one verse, Shukadev Goswami, towards the end of the 12th canto, under Srimad Bhagavatam summarized, and then after that, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, because these are the last few moments of Parikshit Maharaj's life in this world. So Shukadev Goswami is saying very nicely, he tells him, my dear king, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descended into this world as Lord Kurma, he came as a tortoise. His back was supporting Mount Mandara, if you remember. And the Lord was actually holding Mandara up as a mountain. But as he was doing that, his back was scratched by the sharp-edged stones on Mount Mandara. The back of the Lord was scratched. So Shukadeva Goswami says, while the scratching was there and the Lord was twirling, instead of causing pain to the Lord, the scratching was very soothing. And the Lord fell asleep. In the 12th canto, Shukadeva Goswami says that the Lord became very sleepy. This scratching made the Lord sleepy. And then Shukadeva Goswami ends by saying, may we all be protected by the winds that were caused by the Lord's breathing in this sleepy condition. So when the Lord became very sleepy, he began to breathe very favorably, very wonderfully. And as he breathed in and out, the breeze also went in and out. And that's why when you read the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, you'll find that at the point when the Lord comes to lift Mount Mandara, that's the point the Lord also sends the breeze. That breeze is coming from his breathing. And Shukadeva Goswami says, ever since that time, even up to the present day, the ocean tides have imitated the inhalation and exhalation of the Lord by piously coming in and going out. Till then, Bhagavatam tells us, the tides never went in and out. But after the Lord's breathing came, even out of reverence for the Lord, out of his great power, his great glory and his great transcendence, the waters till today, as a homage to the Lord, they move in, they move out. That's why when you stand on the beach, you can see the waves go out, the waves come in. Because the waters, they are imprints of the Supreme Lord's eternal pastime. Of how he became sleepy, because he was being scratched. And when he became sleepy, his breathing became very beautiful. This is Krishna's power. When we hear this, it is inconceivable for us. When we breathe, you know, what happens? Nobody cares whether we breathe or not. Of course, when we snore, everybody cares. Yeah, people get tired. But when we breathe, no tides are moving in and out because we are breathing an East Coast Parkway, you know, the waters are going in and out. Nothing happens. But when Krishna decides to breathe, the whole universe will breathe with him. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Taigora Premanande. Are there some nice comments, questions? Otherwise we can do short kirtan. Pushpa. Yes, Prabhu.
You emphasized a lot on
You emphasized a lot on study of Bhagavatam.
and you also mentioned 2 points about hearing and performing service. Sometimes the emphasis is given a lot to hearing and also to perform service. And we've also heard that when there's proper hearing and when you're doing service, then naturally realization will come of the Lord. So how do we put self-study of Bhagavatam in proper perspective when there is hearing and there's also service that gives us realization of the Lord?
Actually, Prabhu, when we hear Bhagavatam, then that hearing is studying. If we hear and we contemplate, that is already studying. If we commit it to writing, or we commit it to memory and commit it to repetition, then the hearing becomes enforced. Then what happens is, in our hearts, there is no reservation. Our heart becomes favorable to Krishna, and there is no interruption. So, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, the self-realized souls, they continuously hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who hear Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes in the first canto, in the first two chapters, the purports, one should be very eager to hear the message of Krishna. One should be very submissive to the message of Krishna. So if we eagerly hear and we are submissive, then whatever we hear, we will retain in our heart. And that we retain, we will contemplate. And that is the basis of our study. So just merely writing down may be nice, but after writing, we have to study. That means by writing, we are actually repeating, and then by learning the shlokas, reciting, we are being purified because we hear. So it's actually very holistic, but it begins by hearing. Those who hear, they can study. And those who hear submissively and with eagerness, then studying Srimad Bhagavatam becomes very natural. And those who hear very nicely, then their devotional service is uninterrupted. Whichever way we go, wherever we are, Krishna always gives some service. Always. So this is the formula that Bhagavatam gives us. Is that helpful? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, sometimes we become overwhelmed with the amount of literature Prabhupada has given. And sometimes we feel that how will we be able to finish it in one lifetime, because when we read Prabhupada's book, for example Krishna book, and there's so much that Prabhupada has given that if we really sit down and contemplate on it, it takes some time. So what should we focus on covering as much as we can, or on covering whatever we are doing right now in the best way?
Prabhupada wanted us in his writings very clearly to continuously read his books. So if we are continuously reading Srila Prabhupada's books, studying the books, hearing his lectures, and then acting on them, then you find naturally, Prabhu, we will be able to study the Gita from end to end. Naturally, we will be able to study the Bhagavatam from end to end. And when we say study, it means to also practice. So, while it is important for us to make goals to complete the study of Srila Prabhupada's books, we should understand why we want to do it. We should not be doing it because we have to finish it. But we should be doing it because everything that Prabhupada has given is relishable and practical and entirely spiritual. So if we approach Srila Prabhupada's books in that mood of submission, then Srila Prabhupada's mercy will descend such that we will be able to complete the books in a natural manner. If we take our Bhakti Sastri, for example, and we study it very nicely according to the course, we will gain so much because it is being done in a bona fide way. If we follow our spiritual masters, if our spiritual masters tell us, you please study now Nectar of Instruction, then we should follow the footsteps of the pure devotee and study Nectar of Instruction and complete it. We should not be thinking that we should be jumping from here to there. That very often becomes mental speculation. So we should consult the senior devotees. We should consult our spiritual masters how to study Srila Prabhupada's books. And they give us nice guidance on how to study. And if nothing else, if all else fails, even if you studied one verse of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, one verse of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, or one paragraph of Srila Prabhupada's book, and then something happened and you died, even then your life is not in vain. And even if you finished reading Prabhupada's books and then suddenly got distracted and for 10 years you never read Prabhupada's books, the seed of what Prabhupada has given in his book still will not go in vain. So we should not use too much of our mind's exertions to worry about completing something. What is important is to act on what we are studying. Because Prabhupada has always said that every one of his verses in Bhagavatam is complete. Every verse in Bhagavad Gita is complete. And Prabhupada is Acharya. Therefore, everything in Prabhupada's books will answer all problems in any angle, according to any place, any time, any circumstances. Prabhupada's books are absolute, Prabhu, because he's pure and he's giving us parampara. So whether you are here or there, it should not be a problem. But we should follow the way that our society has given. Because Prabhupada also said, systematically study my books. Prabhupada never said, whimsically study my books. And Prabhupada's purpose should never, never be diminished. Prabhupada's purports are his ecstasies. They are his ecstasies. The verse is given foundationally, but the realization and the practicality is all in Prabhupada's purport. If we just meditate on Srila Prabhupada's purport, our lives will become completely blissful. So that 1% of worry, you can learn one shloka, because it will take you about 5 minutes. Is that helpful, bro? Let's chant Krishna's names. Balakrishna Prabhu? Where is he? Prabhu, we can just chant for a few minutes. Gopal has arrived. Okay, very good. Because if I chant and then suddenly it tells me no, then I can now calibrate.
Yashomati Nandana Braja Varanagara Gokula Ranjana Yashomati Nandana Braja Varanagara Gokula Ranjana Kala Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara Kaliya Dhamana Vidhana Amala Harina Namiya Vilasa Vipina Purandana Navina Nagara Bhara Bhamsi Bhadana Suvasa Braja Jana Palana Surakula Nasana Nanda Godhana Rakwala Nanda sanahara rasa rasika kripa mohaya Yashomati Nandana Braja Bharanaha Gokula Ranjana Kaha Janakana Gokulananda
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Shri Hari Naam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Shri Hari Naam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Shri Hari Naam Sankirtan Mahayajna Ki With my Gaura Prema
So on behalf of the devotees, we want to thank Balakrishnan Prabhu, Pratha Darshan Mataji, Yadunandan Prabhu for being such nice, wonderful hosts and for having us over for a nice program. We wish you all the best. Whenever I see devotees buying houses in Singapore, I become very satisfied because it is an expression of your commitment to being in Singapore and giving us your association. It's the nomadic devotees I get worried. So because then, you know, being renunciates, they can suddenly leave and go and that can become very difficult for us. Yogeshwar Prabhu, where is he? Yogeshwar Prabhu is leaving in about a week's time. And he's been a stalwart devotee for book distribution, for sadhana, for exemplary conduct, for organizing so many preaching activities with enthusiasm, sincerity. This morning for Mangalarti, we spent time together doing Bhagavatam and I really will regret not having his association more. We want to wish him all the best in his spiritual life because he will go back to Pune. His family is also very exemplary and I'm sure they will be the foundation of some wonderful preaching programs. Because Yogeshwar Prabhu is that kind of devotee, he can't keep still. And which is very good. You know, he has no corners, he has no gaps, and he's highly favorable to Krishna. So that means, you know, he will just continue preaching the message of Bhagavatam. Kindly find some time, Prabhu, to come through Singapore. And we also have the Singapore curse. And that is, you know, we put it on you now. And we hope that somehow or another, you know, against your will, but for the Lord's will, you will come back here again. Let us pray. You know? Let us pray. So like this, sometimes we lose devotees in association. But there are no goodbyes to Vaishnavas because we are international. Suddenly we will see them there and we will see each other. That's how it is. His Holiness Jagannath Maharaj will be coming through Singapore next weekend. Maharaj is coming by Friday, I believe. And we'll have programs Friday evening, Saturday at the center. Sunday morning for Bhagavatam, Sunday evening Bengali program. And then the following week, I think on that Sunday, we will actually be having the Rath Yatra at Batam, right? It's Batam Rath Yatra. So we'll send out an email, just like how the Batam devotees come and support us. I request all of you to try and go there to support them. I need to check with Narottam Prabhu because I believe His Holiness Atmanivedan Maharaj is also coming through. If he's coming through that weekend, he should be alerted. There is Rath Yatra. Maybe Maharaj can also join us there. That would be wonderful. The devotees will be very happy to have him. Then, end of the year, Monday, after the Rath Yatra, on Monday, 12th of December, 90% we are confirmed to have His Holiness Loknath Maharaj. Maharaj is going through a really incredible schedule. He will be in Penang for the Kirtan Mela and then come through Penang. From Penang, he will drive down, stop at KL for a while to see Bhanu Maharaj and Bhakti Vrajinanda Maharaj. Then he comes through Johor, Causeway, comes into Singapore hopefully by about 6 in the evening, joins us for the program. And then in all likelihood, he may either leave that night for a program in Johor Bahru and then fly off from Malaysia, KL to Mauritius the next day. So we're just waiting now to work out the confirmation. And we'll keep you informed. This is Vaishnava's mercy. Just for a few hours to give us His darshan and His mercy. And then after that, towards the end of the year, I'm not sure if any other senior devotees are coming through. But I do know that in January, we have His Holiness Romapat Maharaj over the Chinese New Year weekend. So please don't run away for some holiday during Chinese New Year weekend. Come and sit down and hear Maharaj. This is the first time Romapat Maharaj is coming to Singapore and he gives some amazing lectures. So it will be a great opportunity for us to actually hear him. Right? So that's Romapat Maharaj. And then Malati Mataji, who came last year, she's trying to fix up her date in Singapore. Another senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Lakshmi Mani Mataji, is also fixing her dates to come to Singapore. February 25th, I believe, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj will be in Singapore. That's February. And we know that Padmanabhan Prabhu, His Grace Padmanabhan Prabhu, Director of Mayapur Institute, also wants to come through Singapore in January. Badrinayan Maharaj will come through in the early part of March. So that much is almost confirmed. So we already have a list of sannyasis who are going to come through. And Bhakti Prem Maharaj, you know, this senior disciple, sannyas disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was supposed to come in the same weekend as Romapat Maharaj, but now he will defer his travel to another weekend, which we will keep you informed. So January, February, March, April, May, June, July, hopefully the whole year, we will continue to have, you know, wonderful association of devotees. Thank you very much for your time, and Krishna willing, we will see you again in the evening for the program. Should I invite everyone now to have prasadam? Because if I don't, there may be a riot. So please, can we request the mothers and the children to proceed and have prasadam, and the men will have to just wait for a while longer. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Amazon.
Is it?
Yes. Very hard to get this now. All yours. This edition is available because we
We are going to form a group.
Please, I think that's the one.